Welcome everybody to Are You Not Entertained? Today is August 22nd. This is episode 71. It's a Tuesday, and I'm here with Chris, and we had the sixth episode of Game of Thrones. One more to go, and then the season's already gone. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm really good. I'm really happy we had an awesome episode, and I'm really upset that we're going to have to wait a fucking another year after next week to see some more.
Like, seriously, like, this season just flew the fuck by. Unbelievable. I don't know. Are you happy that they stretched it out, or would you have rather just gotten it all done over the next, you know, 7 weeks?
Let's see how next season turns out, and then I'll get back to you on that answer.
If you remember that question by next year, kudos to you, because I will have long forgotten it later tonight. All right. There's been no such thing as even an average episode this season. There's been no such thing, like, they've all been really good so far, and this was no different.
The closest to average was the first, and that was just because it had to get the exposition going. Other than that, each one's been topping it. So the previous episode left and right on top of each other.
Yeah, it's been crazy how good they've done. I guess what I want to start off with, because the main crux of the whole episode is the fucking expedition and everything that kind of falls in between that. With that being said, let's start off with the whole Sansa and Arya thing going on, because that's its own contained little story. As we saw, Sansa and Arya kind of had a nice little meeting of the minds, and Arya kind of showed that she's pretty much a badass. Do you think Sansa's intimidated by it, or do you think, like, what do you read Sansa as from that conversation?
Well, to throw some spoilers in for probably your next question, I think that after the second conversation, yeah, there's fucking intimidation there in Sansa's mind, you know, straight up. First one, I think she's a little bit like, Arya, what's wrong with you? Why are you living in the past still? But definitely after the second conversation that the two of them had, yeah, there's some fucking issues there between the siblings.
Do you think in Sansa's mind that she's going? Do you think she's going to try to work against her sister? Like that? I guess that's the weird thing with Sansa is that we have no idea what her ultimate goal is. We know that she's smart enough in a lot of capacities, but she's constantly like, she's very paranoid based on everything that's happened in her life. Do you think she's going to use this whole thing with Arya, like, to help the North, or do you think she's threatened by Arya more than anything?
Well, I think that I don't really see how she could use the whole thing with Arya to help the North, but definitely Arya straight up, like, said, I'm going to cut your fucking face off this episode. So, yeah, she's definitely threatened by Arya. Who the fuck knows what's going on in that little girl's mind? But, you know, I think nothing would have come of it. And the status quo would have been maintained until you threw fucking the little rock called Arya into the pond and you just watch the ripples fucking go out and see what kind of fucking shit's going to happen, you know, next. Oh, who the hell even knows if they're going to get back to Winterfell? You know, well, the people who left Winterfell are going to get back there. Or if it's just going to be a fallout between Littlefinger and Arya and Sansa and what the fuck's going on up there.
Right, because Sansa's sending Brienne for this meeting of the minds in King's Landing. Do you think that... How is that beneficial... Do you think that's actually beneficial in the long term for Sansa to be sending Brienne away?
In the long run, no. In the short term, if she feels that she has to kill her sister to keep herself safe, possibly.
Do you actually think Arya would kill... Like, given everything right now, do you think Arya really wants to kill Sansa, or do you think she's kind of like laying down the law, like, this won't be tolerated further?
No, I'm pretty sure that was a direct threat. I don't think that was like, hey, laying on the law. I think that's like, Yeah, I'm gonna fucking kill you next week, or at least attempt to.
See, I kind of read it as, or took it as, you know, this is it. Like, this is what's been going on. If you fuck us over again, you will die. But I've been reading it kind of two different ways on the internet. So,
see, I got more of the mind of like, all I have to do is cut your face off and then pretend to be you, and nobody will even fucking know.
Right, like, she could just rule Winterfell as Sansa, and nobody would be the wiser, really. Except Bran, and...
probably Littlefinger.
Littlefinger's too smart for it. And can she actually get... Here's something that I've been kind of curious about. So, with the power of the Faceless Men, do you just naturally adapt the mannerisms, or is it something that you have to pay attention to learn it before you can portray it?
I would assume that it's something you would have to pay attention to learn to portray it, but I mean, she had Walder Frey's, she had their voice just by putting on the skin, so who the fuck knows? There's got to be at least a little bit of mysticism in there to fucking throw that shit around.
Like, I mean, if you think about, like, Sansa's one of the hardest people in the world, I think, for Arya to actually relate to in a lot of ways, so, like, her to try to imitate her, yes, she grew up with her, but, I mean, just... they both changed significantly, so it'd be interesting to watch Arya imitate Sansa, basically. I'm looking forward to it. Do you think any violence will come between Sansa, Arya, and Littlefinger come this coming Sunday?
I don't know violence, but there's definitely going to be a showdown up there. If we have time, with the amount of other shit that we should be getting next episode, too, so...
I think we deserve it, because the Sansa story's been the most intriguing thing of the season, as far as I'm concerned. Like, basically, I say it's been the most intriguing in the sense that we had a general idea of where the Jon Snow and Dany thing was going. Like, we had a good idea. Like, it's been building up. The Sansa and Arya thing, yes, it's been building up, but we're still sitting here like, I don't know really quite exactly how this is going to go down. So... I definitely think at least 10 to 15 minutes need to be spent on that next week, I hope. 10 minutes, minimum. Do you want to touch on anything else regarding basically that whole storyline before we move on?
I think it's sad just how easy it is for Littlefinger to fucking play everybody in the fucking Seven Kingdoms.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows better, right?
And you would think they would know better. This guy's a fucking snake. You know, his thing shouldn't be the little robin for the house or whatever it is. It should be the fucking... he should be the house of the snake. And yet, fucking Arya's falling for it. Sansa's falling for it. Brienne is the only one who showed any sense in fucking Winterfell last episode when she's like, are you sure you want to send me away? Because Littlefinger's fucking gathering allies against you, Sansa. She's like, no, go. I know what I'm doing. I'm fucking... just, you know... it's proving she's still a child, just like Arya is proving she's still a child.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, they never had a chance to fulfill their whole childhood, right? So it's kind of like the whole Michael Jackson thing, where even as an adult, he still had a child's mentality about a lot of things because he didn't have a fucking normal childhood. I really wish I could have used a better example, but Michael Jackson's easily the most known one, I would say. Do you think Bran is he going to play a role in this whatsoever, or is he just so busy jacking off under the tree that he don't give a fuck?
I mean, he's definitely going to play a role because, I mean, at this point, if one of the only things I could see bringing his attention to Winterfell would be, you know, his sisters killing each other.
I'm going to say that I don't think either of the girls are going to die or inflict any damage upon each other. I do worry a little bit for Podrick, though. I don't know. I like Podrick. I don't want to say anything bad happened to him, but I don't know. He seems like a guy that I could see getting killed off. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's like that good person in Game of Thrones, which means you're cannon fodder, basically. But, I don't know. Because Brienne was talking about leaving him, but she didn't really get the okay from Sansa, so I don't know if he's going to be with Brienne or if he's going to be in Winterfell still come next week.
And so is basically, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, is Brienne basically left to be the only person representing Winterfell at this big meeting?
Well, I don't think they realize that Jon's going to be there, so yes.
Okay. Doesn't that seem weird that, like, I don't know, wouldn't you send, like, some other, like, of the head houses just to, like, be there? Doesn't it seem weird to just only have Brienne?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was, like, incredibly weird. I mean, Dany's bringing a fucking army, potentially, and Cersei already has an army, but, hey, we're just going to send Brienne.
Well, I mean, with the way fast travel's working in this game, maybe she found out that Jon was already going to bend the knee, so, you know, she was like, well, Dany will have a whole bunch of people, so, you know, we won't need to send anybody extra, because now we're all for, you know, the Dragon Queen.
Right. Alright, so, moving on from that storyline, there was a nice discussion between Tyrion and Dany that, my goodness, I that was the first time I really dug everything that Tyrion had to say this season. Like, it felt like the Tyrion of old, where, like, he would just verbally put somebody in their place. I really liked it. What was your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been disregarding Tyrion this season like you have. I think he's basically been the voice of reason, and even though a lot of his plots haven't necessarily worked out, it hasn't been through stupidity. It's been through, you know, all of a sudden Cersei allied with fucking Euron out of nowhere to, you know, fuck up our plans. Cersei, you know, allied with Euron out of nowhere to fuck up our plans. Basically, Euron fucked up all their plans. So, I mean, you look at that, I think it hasn't really been too much of a difference. But, yeah, again, it's another example of somebody giving wise advice and somebody younger in a position of power just fucking ignoring it. Not to say that, you know, don't understand where she's coming from, but, yeah. You know, maybe he's got several points.
Her it's not that her position isn't understandable. It's totally understandable. And I, like, Tyrion's just kind of been put in a shit situation in a lot of ways this season, in the fact that his logic's been sound the whole time. It's just, you know, random things keep fucking up. Like, basically, Euron has fucked up so much of everything that Tyrion realistically had right, but because it happened to go wrong, he was almost like the fucking scapegoat, for lack of better terms. So I really liked, I like a cocky, not cocky, but confident Tyrion, when he just, I don't know, unleashes his verbal, not assault, but I mean, he's just so good talking. It was good to see somebody kind of put Dany in her place. Just, I like to see that myself. Do you think Tyrion's going to be at this meeting, right? Like, I think they showed that in the preview?
Yeah.
All right. So, we're going to get Tyrion, we're going to get all the Lannisters together, probably for one last time, it seems.
I was talking to my family. I was like, you know, this, I wonder how this was filming, you know, next week's episode for him, because this will be the first time, you know, all these actors have been on screen together since, you know, episode one of season one. Yeah. Between,
all those episodes, okay, yeah.
Between, Jaime, Cersei, Tyrion, Jon, you know, well, Dany's never even been fucking, you know, with 90% of the cast before this fucking season, so.
Yeah, she was the big wild card, I would say, for this, was that we hadn't seen Dany interact with a huge number of characters that we're finally getting to see. When was the last time Tyrion was with Jaime and Cersei? Was it Joffrey's wedding death?
Or was it his trial.
The trial after, okay.
Yeah. And then he was with Jaime, you know, the other episode, last episode, two episodes ago. And then the time before that was when Jamie let him out of the prison and he killed his father. So.
And that was, what, season 4 or 5? 5, I think? Maybe 4. I don't know. But yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. Alright, there's... Am I wrong in saying that there wasn't a whole lot else going on that didn't involve the expedition and people leaving or heading towards the expedition? Like, can we just move on to that, or am I forgetting any tiny other chunk?
The only thing I was wondering about is if we're getting a hint that Danny's going to die now.
You know, I've been hoping it, because they keep alluding to it.
With that that conversation between her and Tyrion and him asking her to cement her succession.
Yeah, very cocky of her to not have a succession plan. Like, that's just the thing that people who hope to rule tend to have, isn't it?
Well, not only that, but, you know, if she's sterile, as she's supposed to be, she's never going to have a child. Yeah, so she's going to need to have a succession plan no matter what to figure out who's going to be replacing her on the throne.
Yeah. Just for the hell of it, if you were in Danny's shoes, who would you have be the successor?
I have no fucking... Well, I mean, the way it's looking at the end of the episode, I mean, she'd probably have her fucking, you know, Jon Snow.
Her, right. Yeah. I was thinking, like, Missandei would be a good choice. Like, she's, one of the single most level-headed motherfuckers in the whole show, the whole time.
Maybe back in Marine, but you bring a slave from another continent over with, you know, no history of being any kind of nobility or anything, and then say, all right, you're going to sit on this throne over all these people who've lived here for however many centuries or whatever. Plus, the dragons aren't going to listen to you because you're not a Targaryen. Yeah, I don't think that would last very long.
True. I don't know. I do know, and I'm going to jump ahead here, because I don't want to get mid-conversation and forget this. You and I, we've heard all the talk about the three-headed dragon. We now have 2 dragons and an ice dragon. Therefore, it seems like the three-headed dragon was more metaphorically speaking about 3 Targaryens. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yep.
So it seems reasonable that we are going to find out who the 3rd Targaryen is. Possibly. Do you think it'll be at the finale, or do you think it's going to be next season?
Well, that's if the prophecy is even true as it is. I mean, as of, you know, the last season and a half, we've seen that the priests of the Red God can be wrong in what they believe. So, you know, the whole 3-headed dragon could have been incorrect as well.
Where did the prophecy come from? Was it from the Red Priest, or where did the prophecy exactly come from?
I believe it was from that chick that you texted me who we were talking about, 2nd episode? Kaith, the Shadow Priestess or whatever, and Karth. And Karth.
Yeah. Great, great, great naming, guys. Way to keep it so it is really not confusing.
But she is from the same city that, what's her face is from?
Melisandre?
Yes.
Yeah. I find it hard to believe that, the prophecies are there for a rhyme and reason. Like, it'd be kind of a cop-out at this point to be like, oh, by the way, this prophecy and this prophecy and this prophecy was wrong. Like, it'd be kind of insulting, I feel, to fans. Not saying that they won't do it, but would feel a tad insulting, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think they've ever really made as big of a deal in the show as they have in the books of the prophecy, so...
Like, I don't know, I feel it'd be insulting if we never get an Azor Ahai, if we don't get the 3-headed dragon. And speaking of prophecies, something I meant to go back and rewatch, but I didn't. It was season 4, I think, when we had the first episode of season whatever, and we had young Cersei getting that the fortune teller lady. Did that fortune teller lady specify that Cersei only was going to have three children, or was that not specified, or do you not recall?
I do not recall. All I remember from that prophecy is that all of Cersei's children were going to die.
Yeah, I remembered that, and that, like, I was starting to wonder, like, I wonder if she specifically said three children, because that would help, you know, with speculation on whether she's pregnant or not. That's all. I was looking for something, and then I totally forgot to watch it to have an answer, so I'm feeling like a complete dumbass at the moment, as is tradition. So, with all of that being said, let's talk about the funnest expedition, and let's talk some time travel, fast travel, whatever, because ravens are apparently ridiculous fast, as are dragons. Lots of great one-liners.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
She's only have three kids with Robert.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Interesting. I don't know. That I still don't think she's pregnant, but I just was kind of hoping to find something from that particular fortune. Yeah, lots of great conversation. Who was it? Was it Tormund and the Hound that had the ginger conversation?
Yes, Tormund and the Hound.
That was the best shit for
me. Do you hate me because I'm a wildling? No, I hate you because you're a fucking ginger. But I've been touched by fire, just like you. Hey, when you were a little kid, did you fall into the fire? No, I was pushed. Oh, you should have been more careful.
Like, God damn it, I want a buddy cop movie between those two if they can keep that shit up. It's just...
it was another episode with, like, when it was the guys together. It's like, just fucking bunch of awesome scenes.
It amazes me in some way that this is a show typically about two people having conversations. No matter how large the group, somehow they just usually wean it down to two people. So, like, in this big expedition, I was like, are they going to do that again? Or is it going to be more group conversation? Nope. They still paired people off and just kept switching and rotating. And a lot of the talk was really well done. Well written, I would say. It was fun. Was there any other big lines that were important by any chance that we might have missed or overlooked?
There was definitely some funniness, you know, with Tormund and the Hound and the big woman that he's going to have giant babies with that were going to conquer the world.
That was fucking brilliant. And
the Hound realizing that Brienne's hanging out down in Winterfell. You know, there was a bunch of nice stuff with Jorah between him and Jon, and then him and Thoros. I think probably the most important shit that got discussed north of the Wall was probably between Beric Dondarrion and Jon about being the only two to have been brought back, and, you know, their destiny to kill the Night King. Yep.
Right, yeah, that I felt that was pretty important, pretty cool. Something you might be able to answer. So, Dondarrion there, he can fucking flame up his sword. Can he do that to other people's sword in the middle of the fight, or is it, like, something that's only bound to, like, his sword?
Looks like it's only to him, and Thoros was doing it, too, until he got bit by the fucking giant zombie polar bear, so...
Yeah... Coca-Cola commercials have gotten weird lately. So the importance of Thoros dying, it didn't quite go the way that I had anticipated. There's gotta be more to it. Like, where do you think it goes? Like, there was importance to that, right?
What do you mean?
Like, alright, so he was able, he kept, you know, basically respawning fucking Dondarrion there. Like, now he's gone. I was kind of hoping that he would pass on, like, this knowledge or whatever, this ability to the Hound or somebody else, and that didn't happen. Right now, we know Melisandre. Is she the only character left alive that we know that can bring people back?
Well, yeah. I mean, at this point, it's probably something to do with their religion. You know, whether or not it's the Lord of Light or just a power that his priests have or something. I mean, that's why Thoros, he was a red priest, too, so that's why he was able to do it. I mean, we've met one other red priestess in the show, but she was supposedly going to stay in Meereen and preach how awesome Dany was to all the multitudes. So it would appear that Melisandre would be the only person who we've known who's as a character who is able to do this, who is still alive. Potentially still alive.
So I would say it's pretty safe to say that she's got to bring back at least one more person before her death. That would seem reasonable, right?
Yeah, that would seem to imply, you know, that there'd be a reason for her next season. At least for one episode.
Yeah, I hated seeing Thoros go, but, I mean, as we discussed last week, he was the most logical guy after you got rid of the hooded red shirts. I mean, basically, it was funny, yeah. Like, watching.
Well, not only that, like, but I was pretty sure they only left with two red shirts, and then there were, like, four of them died. So I'm like, where the fuck do these guys keep coming from?
I think I counted. There were six of them.
With the ravens. They kept...
Yeah. So, as I'm watching it, I'm noticing all of our main characters don't have their hood up. And then I see Gendry with his hood up. I'm like, dude, take your fucking hood off, because everybody with the hood's dying left and right. And it was funny, because you're right. When they left, you could count. There wasn't nearly as many as they killed off in this episode. It was just, they just kind of kept popping up. That, hey, we got more hooded Sherpas to join us for some reason. Oh, to die.
Maybe they just like going for long walks in the wilderness where your balls freeze to your leg, you know, according to Gendry. So.
God, that sounds majestic. Was it? I think I asked this in the blog, but I was kind of pissed that Gendry seemed to just take off without a weapon at all. Like, I understood, like, all right, you don't want to run with the hammer, but really, like, somebody couldn't have given him, like, a dagger or something just in case?
Well, I mean, obviously it was a good thing that they didn't, because that extra 2 ounces might have kept him from making it to the wall in time to get the raven down, in time to get the dragons back before the ice melted, you know, so, I mean, or froze, I should say.
There's been so many great internet memes this week because of the expedited travel times. It's been great. It's really been hilarious.
It makes you wonder why they fucking didn't do this like seasons ago, though. I mean, shit. Look how long it took Arya just to get fucking half of the distance that they travel in like 30 minutes in this episode.
Like, at some point, do you think Dany's like, wow, I could have just taken care of business, you know, fucking 5-6 seasons ago. Would have been fine. Like, it only takes a couple minutes and I would have been there, apparently. And it all started, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, all this shit started with the whole Euron bullshit, like in episode two, right?
Euron defied the laws of physics and it's never been the same in the Seven Kingdoms.
He ruined it for everybody. Oh, gosh. It just cracks me up. The whole thing cracks me up. Who was it that was using the two small blades? Was that Jorah?
Yeah, that was Jorah, the dragon glass blades that Sam gave him.
Yeah, I liked watching him fight with them. It was cool to see. I enjoyed watching the Hound fucking go at it. I don't know. I really liked a lot of the action there. It felt very similar, though, to Battle of the Bastards as far as, you know, they kept getting more and more backing up and surrounded type thing. One thing that I was wondering is, why didn't they continue to just break the fucking ice?
Because that wouldn't have given a reason for them to haul Dany in to save them and get the dragon killed? I mean, I don't know.
Okay, so, basically convenience.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
I'm sitting there like, all you gotta do is keep breaking the fucking ice and they ain't gonna get to you. So, why aren't we doing that? And they just didn't, and yeah. So, Dany swoops in for the rescue, and Viserion? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, gets got.
Yeah.
Before we touch on that, where the fuck's the other dragon? Like, we never see the second dragon again.
He was there. The problem is, we've really, before this episode, only really had Drogon as a character. The other two have just kind of been, like, interchangeable. So, other than seeing, you know, the two of them flying around in the background.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like there needed to be the three dragons so you could have one or two get killed off, but you were never planning on killing off Drogon. That always seemed to be the case very early on, and now we had it, and my gosh, I'm not completely cold-hearted, although I'm sure people probably will disagree, but simultaneously, like, people are losing their shit over a fucking dragon getting got here. I just thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was a hell of a throw, and I was excited about the possibility of a blue-eyed dragon. Were you saddened by this, or were you more excited about this?
When you look at all of the things I predicted last week when we were talking, and then how much came true, I was fucking ecstatic. I was like 9 out of 10, yeah! I can feel for Daenerys, you know, as a character, when she, especially, you know, when she's talking to Jon, she's like, these are my children, I'll never have any other children, you know, and one of them just fucking got. But, it hasn't been a fucking character, you know, it's not like Drogon kind of, you know, has done enough with Dany, you know, on his back, riding him, you know, over the course of the seasons, that he's kind of developed a personality. You know, the other two, really, like you said, I mean, they're just background noise at this point.
Yeah, they're window dressing, and, I mean, Drogon's as close to a fleshed-out character as a dragon's going to get in this show. Really. I don't know, I guess kind of felt, I don't know, what, do you know the other dragon's name? It begins with an A, doesn't it?
No, it's how apropos for Jon to write it, considering it's Rhaegon.
Oh, yeah.
After his father, yeah.
I kind of felt like Rhaegon got gypped a little bit this episode.
I would say he made it out pretty lucky.
I don't know. I'm going to say that Viserion, I mean, he gets to live again in his own way, and he gets better looking eyes. Okay, so I'm saying he made out okay. The worst part was the fucking cold bath that he had to take. That couldn't have felt good.
Yeah, nobody likes cold showers.
No. I loved watching them, like, the fucking huge-ass chains, to which I was wondering, where the fuck did they get the huge-ass chains? Was I not supposed to ask that question?
Probably dead wildlings, I'm gonna assume.
Okay. Like, this episode, this is not an episode to nitpick, because there's a lot of things that were very, you're just like, huh. Well, that was convenient. Oh, that was convenient. Oh, there's another guy with a hood. Great. Oh, they got chained suddenly. Oh, the Raven reached there in fucking 30 seconds. Fantastic. Like, this was an episode that they did enough action to hope to basically quell the fans from asking a lot of legitimate questions, I truly feel. One thing they did, and I think you know exactly the one thing that they did that pissed me off. Do you have any idea what it was?
No, actually.
Fucking John bending the fucking knee verbally just really...
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have problems with that.
I do. I still have issues. Just
if they just said bowed, would you be better than bending the knee?
Here's all I want. Here's what I really want. I want them to finish up this fight, and once, you know, they've both done their thing, if they're both still alive, I'm completely cool if John's like, this is for the best of the North, best for the North, I will bend at the knee, and I'll be like, alright, cool, that's completely understandable. But the perpetual nagging kind of got to me, and then the fact that, like, I get why he did it, but I just didn't want to see it done until after they've finished this war of whatever you want to call it. Like, I just wanted it to kind of be finished, and then him to be like, you know what, you've proven that you're a great queen, I will bend at the knee. I would have been fine with it then.
Well, with the foreshadowing that she might die, I'm pretty sure he's trying to get in bed with that before fucking that shit happens, so... You know, whatever it takes to secure the booty. That's basically what John's going with. Although he's clueless enough that it's probably not really that. I mean, He doesn't know what he's doing.
No. God, there was.
If he was anybody else, that would be what it was happening. But
right, there was the great meme of him in bed and then her showing up and then George Costanza talking about shrinkage. It cracked me up. Oh, the internet's been doing really well for this particular episode, which is great, because yesterday, I don't know if you know about this, but apparently there was an eclipse and everybody couldn't stop talking about it. It was fucking insane how much, like, people lost their fucking mind over that for whatever reason. Baffled me. Just throwing that out there. Utterly baffled me how insane people got over an eclipse. But it didn't remind me of Dolores Claiborne. I mean, I know we're talking about Game of Thrones here, but quickly, I want to say, I always thought Dolores Claiborne was every bit as good as Misery. I never understood why... Misery is always put up like on a pedestal, and it's a great movie, but I think Dolores is pretty much every bit as good as Misery.
Just two different story, you know.
Yeah.
Misery is definitely, you know, tighter in some ways with the isolation and only really two characters throughout the whole thing. Interesting fact, though, if I remember correctly, I was reading that supposedly Dolores Claiborne and Gerald's Game tie together through the Abyss, or not the Abyss, the, what's it called? What did we just have?
The Eclipse?
Eclipse that occurs during both of them.
Ah, so there's an eclipse. I really want to watch Gerald's Game. I've had that, I think that book's been recommended to me more than any other Stephen King book. I don't know what that says about me as a human being, but people are like... You know, if you want to read a Stephen King one, this one would suit you really well, Kat. So, well, maybe I'll get to that like in November when I take my mental hiatus. I don't know. Back to Game of Thrones, because we'll get back to movies later, I'm sure. What did you make of? I mean, John kind of put it together when he killed like the leader. You know, 12 other fucking whites just dropped. Is that going to be the case? Like, if he kills the leader, are they all just going to drop?
I'm going to guess yes.
Okay. Do you consider them... Do you consider them the bad guys?
Yeah, I mean...
Like, all right, so...
We have no really idea of what their motivations are. So, you know, the fact that, you know, they raising a zombie army and marching down to kill everybody alive pretty much makes them bad guys, I'm pretty sure.
All right, so I know you can answer this for me. You know the reason why they were made. They were made to combat the First Man. Am I right, or someplace in the ballpark?
Yeah, you know, supposedly. Imagine, okay, for lack of a better word, you've got this pristine continent with only the people of the forest really living on it, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, you're invaded by people who are basically Vikings, for lack of a better word. They start chopping down the forest and killing your people because you're different, and nothing seems to be stopping them. They've got iron, which is, you know, anathema to you. And so you make these zombie dudes out of this couple that you capture and basically fuck up the world forever after that. So
one could say the Children of the Forest are kind of the bigger evil, or am I wrong?
Well, I mean, they were just defending themselves.
So maybe the Nords were the evil ones.
You don't really have to be evil to be bad. I mean, think of, you know, a hurricane or a tsunami. You know, all the destruction that it causes.
Sure. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I'm sitting there like, I don't really think of the White Walkers, Night King, you know, the dead. I'm really starting to not consider them. I know that they're the ultimate battle, but whether I consider them the ultimate evil in the show, I really don't at this point, knowing what I know. Like, they're just kind of doing, like, they were put in a situation, now they're raising an army, now they come to get theirs. I don't necessarily blame them. I don't know. It's weird. Maybe I'm too sympathetic to the bad guy, which, whatever. I accept that if that's the case. But, I don't know. It just, I'm okay with it. I'm looking through my list of things. I don't have much else for bullet points, because really this was an episode that focused, you know, 85% of its fucking time on this expedition, and there's only so much to be said about it. But what we can do is we can start talking about next episode. And do you have any final thoughts about this episode before we go talking about the finale?
Well, I know you guys haven't necessarily been pushing for it, but I think that the Daenerys and Jon ship is fucking coming into harbor. I'm pretty sure it's there at this point.
Until the day I lose both my testicles, I will never recall something a ship. I am throwing that out there. I will never do it. I think the first time I ever heard it was on Talking Dead. Chris Hardwick said it, and I was just like, the fuck were you just talking? Like, it kind of pissed me off, quite frankly. And like, I've heard it so many times, I'm like, So, yes, you'll never hear me say that, but yeah, it seems pretty fucking inevitable based on everything that we've seen. Now, Dany is John's aunt?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Incest obviously works in the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh, hey. I mean, I don't blame him. Even if he knew it and he still wanted to just hit it, I'm not questioning that one bit, because she is a lovely thing to admire. So, good for him. Is there a possibility that there's a revelation made before they go too far?
Probably not.
Fantastic. I'm excited for that.
I mean, at this point, the only one who knows really is Bran. And it doesn't look like they're stopping in Winterfell on the way down to King's Landing or wherever the hell that meeting is going to be, so...
Hey, Bran could send a raving, and it could be there before this sentence is over, okay? Just, these are things we know.
Well, he could have sent the raven, you know, fucking 5 episodes ago, but he didn't.
This is true. Gosh. You know, it would have cracked me up if Bran, like, during the Sansa and Arya conversation, like, the last conversation, if Bran, like, would have just, like, slammed the door open, like, rolled in, like, drunk and, like, just pissed off, like, well, you shut the fuck up. Neither of you are doing anything. Like, just surly and everything. That would have been great. I'm just looking for ways to improve the show. That would have been one. Drunk Bran in a wheelchair, surly. Think about it. It's great.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go on to, we have... Actually, let me ask you this. Do you think it's likely that by the end of the show that either Dany or John will be dead?
No? I don't think so. They'll be alive.
I would, if I had to place like a percentage, I'm gonna say I'm 85% sure one of those two will be dead by the finale of the show.
Like, I just reading an interview with one of the directors where they're talking about how even all the way back in season one, George R. R. Martin was saying that the whole story is about the two of them, so.
Which is fine. I still, I don't know. I think one of them's going to die, and Right now, I'm leaning towards Danny, but that's probably just me hoping it being Danny. I definitely think one of them's going to die. Although Tyrion's always been on the back burner as a possible penultimate episode death, so... Alright, it appears that we're heading to the Dragon Pits from the preview, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Dragon Pits, I assume you know a lot more about it than I do. Could you just tell our listeners just a little bit about the Dragon Pits? And
no, I have no idea.
No? Okay, fantastic. I believe like dragons died at the Dragon Pit, or was it where they were kept? Do you know that at least?
No, I don't. I mean, although looking at it, it looks like rather where they were kept or where they laired, you know?
Okay. All right. So, is Jaime from the preview? Is Jaime even near where Cersei is? Like, is he just like holding down the fort and just? They're having the big meeting. Like, is he nearby, or is Jaime and Bronn someplace else?
I don't know. I mean, he's definitely with her when they're at the meeting, but where he's at before that, who the fuck knows?
Right. So, will somebody die during or because of the meeting?
I want to say yes. I want to say lots of fucking people are going to die. But I think a lot of that's going to depend on when the meeting actually occurs in the finale.
If it's at the end or versus being at the beginning of the episode,
If it's at the end of the episode, I could see them leaving us on a fucking cliffhanger and all of the repercussions of it happening in episode one of the next season.
Yeah, I could see... I think we're gonna get at least one major character death this coming Sunday. Whether it's a repercussion of the meeting itself, I don't know. I think pretty much everybody seems kind of safe. Although, you know, everybody has been predicting since last year that Cersei wasn't gonna make it past this season. She's done pretty good so far. Do you think she's a likely candidate to possibly get got? Or do you think that now that they're having this meeting that's changed the whole idea that Cersei's going to die before, you know, anything more happens?
She's definitely going to die. I don't know if she's going to die. See, my question then becomes, is she going to die in this episode? I don't think so. I think it's going to be next season now. Because originally, I was expecting this season to basically be the battle for the throne, and the next season to be the battle for humanity's survival. But it looks like we're getting the majority of both pushed into next season.
Yeah, I agree. I thought same way. I thought, you know, we were going to have our throne battle, then we were going to have our winter battle. And this meeting has really changed the course of a lot of people's predictions, I would say. Most people did not foresee this meeting coming about, so it's an interesting direction that they're taking in, no doubt. Do we know who exactly is at the meeting from the preview? I was paying attention, but I don't really remember.
Cersei, Jaime, Jon, Danny, Tyrion,
Brienne has to be there, right?
I didn't see her.
Okay. So we got the Lannister triplets and Danny and Jon. That's what we know for sure, at the very least. I was going to say it seemed likely that Euron would be there, but no, Euron's probably off. Actually, are we going to get a fucking Euron-Theon showdown this season, or have they successfully pushed it off till next season, do you think?
One of the scenes from the trailer has, I want to say, Tyrion and Varys and Theon on a ship. And then there's a scene where they're sailing up, and you see Euron's fleet. So, but it doesn't look like they're going to be fighting, so who the fuck knows?
Yeah, I would say Varys seems very likely to be at that meeting. Just seems like his thing to be at. don't know. I'd like to see some resolution in the Theon thing just so I can be done with it, quite frankly. I don't want to think about Theon anymore, but this whole season I'm like, well, they got to do something eventually, and they just dragged that along quite a bit. I don't know. Do you have any... If you had to guess, are they going to leave us with the cliffhanger, or are they going to leave us with just, like... where everybody's kind of excited at the end. You know, there's a difference between a cliffhanger versus, like, a satisfying ending to a season. Which one do you think they'll take?
Well, all right. If we look back at the seasons, well, you've always had the, for the most part, the excitement in the penultimate episode. The season finales have usually been considered the best episode for most of the seasons.
I would agree.
I mean, think of what we got, like the Red Wedding last year's, you know, last year's fucking episode was amazing, the finale, you know, with the whole fucking first 20 minutes leading up to Cersei killing everybody in fucking King's Landing.
That was a thing of fucking beauty, plus the music that they played.
The music, just the way it was filmed, just was bam, you know. So I'm hoping that even if they leave us a cliffhanger, it's still, you know, the best episode of the season.
I'm not even going to try to doubt that they could pull off the best episode of the season, but man, it really, like, there's not much room to really improve. Like, they have just been killing it so much this season that as long as it's kind of, like, on par with what they've been giving us, I'm not going to be remotely upset in the least bit. At this point, they've given us a ton. It's been pretty fucking cool. Do we know where Sam's heading yet?
I'm assuming he was heading to Winterfell to meet up with Jon.
Alright, that would make a lot of sense. Any possibility of the Hound joining in on this trip for a possible Clegane Bowl?
Well, he was definitely taking the White South, so yes. Possibilities there.
I think that's what we're getting. I think if we get a cliffhanger, it may be the Clegane face off. Like,
no,
I mean, no.
I mean, if they end it with the meeting, then definitely not, because that's happening far enough away that it doesn't look like Qyburn or what's his face are going to be there.
Oh, Qyburn. I love that dude. He has grown on me quite a bit. And I'll tell you who else grew on me for all the wrong reasons was Maester Pycelle there. Like, every time he was on screen, he said something absolutely stupid or he looked like a bumbling fool. And, I don't know, I always got a laugh out of him. He was a creep. He was not a good person, but I still enjoyed his scenes. Thought the actor did well. Trying to think what other side stories we haven't really seen much of. But I don't really have anything. Like, they have really sandwiched a lot of things into bigger stories, but there's only so many chunks now. Before, there used to be like 20 different stories happening, and now there's only a handful of stories, it feels, from my perspective. So, I think every big story is just going to get its fair, you know, 10 to 15 minute chunk in the finale. Right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see.
I'm cautiously optimistic. Alright, I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to say in regards to Game of Thrones?
No, I mean, I think that pretty much sums it up. It was a fucking awesome episode.
Yeah. I liked it. It's just there's not a ton of talking points to this like there has been in previous ones. So, I'm sure next week we'll have a lot more talking points, I would assume, to deal with. So, with that being said, let's do our normal movie talk here. Have you watched both Housebound and Honeymoon?
No, I haven't had a chance to watch them yet.
Okay, cool. So, what else could we possibly talk about? We can talk about those next week. I'm really fucking slacking on the Rob Zombie blog, by the way, so if anybody's listening that's actually looking forward to it, my apologies. Just, this weekend sucked. This weekend really sucked. It was a very busy weekend for me, and then that meant yesterday was busy. It's kind of just been the snowball effect, so as much as I'm not looking forward to Game of Thrones ending, I am, because that gives me a chunk of time of my life back that I currently don't have. So, I'll be happy. I'm trying to think. Did you know that there's a huge rights deal over the Friday the 13th franchise?
I did not. What's going on with that?
It's something to do with how, I believe it's Sean Cunningham.
He was the original director, producer, creator.
Right. He hired some dude to write it. Him and this other guy had worked together on a project prior in the 70s, and like he had this guy write it. So now there's like this rights debacle. So that's a big reason why we were supposed to get Friday the 13th earlier. When was it? February, maybe, there was a Friday the 13th? Whenever it was, earlier in the year, we were supposed to get one, but it kept getting pushed back, and then we were supposed to have it this October. It's pushed back. It's in fucking developmental limbo at this point because there's this huge rights thing. It's weird to me how there can be this much discrepancy over who owns the rights, but the more I look into it, because I was reading this list about films that are in developmental hell, gosh, this is a big thing in a lot of, I don't know if it's just in horror, I assume it's in all films, but horror has a lot of sequels, so I think that's where it gets murkier. Like Candyman, that's a big deal. They were going to make a part 4.
I didn't even realize they made a part 3.
Don't watch it. I love Candyman, and I can't even remotely recommend. I don't even really like part 2, but part 3 was not good.
Part 2 was almost just like a rewriting of the first one, just with a different setting in the background.
Yeah, it just it didn't have as quality acting. I don't know. Apparently, at one point, there was, after the success of Freddy vs. Jason back in 2003, they were trying to get Candyman versus Leprechaun. Think about how dumb that would have been.
Yeah. One of the cooler fanfics I read, actually, was a Freddy versus Jason story, that sequel that brought Michael Myers into it. And then at the end of that, they were talking about bringing in the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers. But it was actually really well written.
Jeepers Creepers 3, I don't think it's coming out this year, but it's official that they're in production finally for it. So that's cool.
They're actually making Jeepers Creepers 3, huh?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that's been... it
follows closer after the first one than the second one.
I agree, I did not care much for the second one. I really liked... I saw Jeepers Creepers on 9/11. I went to the movies with Dom and saw that.
No shit.
Yep. Me and Dom, like, I just remember the conversation basically was, there's nothing on TV, I need a break from this. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, you want to go to the movies? Cool. So we went there. There really wasn't a whole lot going on, and so Jeepers Creepers was there. And it was a surprisingly good movie, I thought.
Yeah, it was creepy. I think it was a slight letdown when you finally actually see what he is, and goes from there, but it had a decent acting, satisfying ending.
I'll tell you something that was disappointing, because I'm thinking of like the old truck in the first one. I watched, I think it was Saturday night, watched Joyride 2 and 3. They were on Sci-Fi, and I think I was working on some blogs and stuff. Man, like, the first Joyride's really good, but part 2 and 3 just got silly really fast, unfortunately. Have you watched either of those two?
I have not. I did enjoy the first one, though, so.
Yeah, keep it. Keep that fond memory in your head and go from there. If you could combine, if we're taking Freddy and Jason out of the equation, and you could just put two horror icons against each other, which two do you think would make for a fascinating movie for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a question.
Let me think about that. We'll come back to that one. How's that sound?
That's cool. I would like to see Tobin Bell versus Macaulay Culkin, but that really isn't the answer to the question. I just really want to see those two in a movie together. Kind of looking forward. Oh, I was going to announce that today, but I'll announce it tomorrow that we're doing the Saw Marathon for mid-September, because I am just dropping the ball on everything. Did you see the link that I posted on the horror group about the Nightmare on Elm Street script that John Saxon wrote?
No, I didn't. Was that just tonight?
I posted it yesterday, I think.
I did see the Game of Thrones one that said that you look like Grey Worm.
Oh, wait, that posted?
I got Jorah. So.
Wow, I'm glad that I didn't give that thing permission to post for me, but all right, cool. I was like, well, it's got to be Varys, right? I mean, a portly, bald guy. No, Grey Worm. Of course. Cool. Made me laugh. The only thing that would have been funnier would have been like, I don't even know what would have possibly been funnier for me. I was thinking like some dude with long hair, but I don't know. Grey Worm's pretty funny for me. The whole John Saxon thing, he wrote a script, and basically it was a prequel, and it explained that Nancy's older sister, Betsy, I believe, when she was in her teens, went and joined a hippie commune or community, and it turned out to be the fucking Manson family. They killed her, but the blame got pinned on Freddy, who was a child psychiatrist at the time. So Freddy went and killed all the kids, not because he was pissed off at kids, but he wanted the parents to pay for, you know, burning him alive when he was innocent. It's an interesting idea, and my description really doesn't do it justice. It's worth a read at some point, though. For anybody listening, just look it up. It was interesting. I don't know how well it would have worked. I kind of don't like the idea of Freddy being innocent. Do you?
No, I mean, I don't know. Like, one of the coolest things I thought about Hannibal was, you know, like when they went and did Hannibal Rising, and the guy wrote the book, and then they did the movie. You know, they gave him a reason. You know, he watched his sister get killed by Nazis and eaten, and that's why he grew up to become a cannibal and a murderer. And, you know, it's just like in the show, then they made him out to be, you know, no, he wasn't, you know, some people are just born fucked up, and that's why he's the way he was, which, you know, I think ends up being scarier than, you know, some kind of fucking fucked up background story. You know what I mean?
Like, people just fucked up for unknown reasons is scarier. The unknown's scarier than what is known.
Exactly.
Right. I remember way back in, I want to say like 1999, there was a film script, a leaked script for Freddy vs. Jason. I swear that script was so much better than what we actually got, and I actually enjoyed Freddy vs. Jason, but I think you can still find it somewhere. I highly recommend it because, like, the whole thing starts down in hell, which was a play off of the ending of part 9, Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. I kind of like the continuity of it all versus regarding Freddy versus Jason, I really disliked how Jason was so scared of water when in part 8, he spent a significant amount of time in the water. It seemed kind of weird to me. Like, do you think Jason was really that terrified of water, or do you think, like, I don't know, I thought it was kind of lazy how they did that.
you know, always would have seemed that he would have been terrified by water, but then the amount of times that he actually got killed, or, you know, the movie ended with him getting killed in the lake, you would figure he would be over it by now. I mean,
right, like, Johnny fucking badass here, and still, I don't know, that always sat really weirdly with me. It appears, though, that we are getting Friday the 13th. Everything's a go once they sell the rights. It appears that they're hoping for next year. But once again, it's one of those things that we've been hearing for years. I mean, the last Friday the 13th was 2009, I believe. So it's been a while. A long while. I remember... did you see that one? The most recent one, Friday the 13th?
I did not, no.
I saw that in the theater, and it was cool, because it was, you know, just in Johnstown, and it was cool to see the people in the audience, like clapping and hooting and hollering and stuff. I was like, this is kind of fun. It was nice to see a crowd reaction from a movie that wasn't via Star Wars. Or the angry mob that appeared after Paranormal Activity, where people were asking for their money back. Because that happened. A lot of people want to say Paranormal Activity was fucking brilliant. The theater I was in, people stormed out of there, swearing up a storm, and went up to concessions, and was like asking for money back. So, I don't know. You saw the original, right?
I actually really like the original. I thought the first three weren't bad, actually.
I think... Alright, so I really...
The problem was... Once you get one of those, and they're successful, all of a sudden you have a fucking zillion fucking found footage movies cropping up right on the heels.
And my issue... Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No,
go
well,
ahead.
I mean, anytime you have shit like that, just the saturation just fucking kills it.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't like Paranormal Activity when it first came out, mainly because it was way overhyped compared to how good it was. On its own, without any hype, it's a fine movie, and actually watching 1, 2, and 3 at one after the other actually isn't a bad experience overall for me. But then it got... I don't even know which one... I think it was part 4 or 5. They had it with... I don't know if they were Mexican or not. They were Latino at the very least.
It was the marked ones.
Yes, that one was weird. And then the very last one, I couldn't even get into it. It was stupid to me. I couldn't finish it. I don't even remember what that one was called. Where, like, the camera could see, like, shit, but you couldn't see it with your naked eye, I guess, was the gist of it.
Yeah.
Didn't appreciate it. And yeah, it's like, as soon as like there's a found footage movie that becomes successful, there's this line for the next 2 to 3 years where everybody copies it. Then it dies down, then it comes back again. So, I'm okay if we don't get any more found footage successes for a while. Minor successes are fine because, you know, only hardcore horror people are going to watch it. But, I don't know. I've seen so many bad found footage horror. That's what Netflix specialized in, I swear, for like 2 years straight, because it's so cheap.
I don't know. To go back to your earlier question, maybe on a... How about Gremlins versus Critters?
Ooh. Gremlins versus... I would get behind that.
I think that could definitely be a horror comedy. Worthwhile, maybe.
I also just read about Gremlins 3, and I don't know if it... The interview seemed kind of sketchy, like it was from the dude who originally made it. I can't remember his name. But talking like it was going to get made, and he said basically that we're going to minimize all the CGI, only for, like, you know, to get rid of the wires and stuff, but we're going to stick mainly with puppets or whatever. So... I don't know. Would you be happy to see a Gremlins 3?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm really surprised that they haven't done a reboot on that compared to just making a sequel.
Yeah. Would you rather have a reboot or a sequel? Because I'd prefer a sequel myself.
It would be nice to have a sequel without necessarily having to involve the people from the original one.
But Zach Galligan can't be doing anything with his life.
Exactly. Come on. He probably looks like a fucking cracked out whore like C. Thomas Howell does, so.
C. Thomas Howell. Gosh. His name hasn't been talked about in a long while, I have to imagine.
I think the last thing I saw him in was Grimm, like a year or two ago, and yeah, he looked done in. I was like, damn.
Oh, that's a shame. I just came across, you know, you brought up Hannibal, you know, a few minutes ago. I just came across, I was reading about somebody, and they're like, talking about how this person was in Hannibal. And now I gotta look it up to see who it was. There was somebody that I really liked that apparently, I don't know if they were a mainstay in the cast or not.
So, Kent, talking yes. about horror movies, looking at your picture that you have, the big, like, spread one for your Facebook profile.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to picture, place a couple of the people in it. I mean, so looking from the left, right, we have what, that Cabin in the Woods?
I'm pulling it up right now. And by the way, the person I was talking about was Catherine Isabel. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was one of the main characters in season 3.
I love her. Okay, I got the picture pulled up. So we got...
What is that?
Yes, Cabin in the Woods.
Candyman. Is that a nurse from Silent Hill 2? Leatherface? Ghostface? American Werewolf in London, maybe? Or is that supposed to be from the Howling?
Possibly Howling. I don't know. It's a werewolf either way.
Phantasm, Jeepers Creepers, Hannibal. Is that supposed to be from Trick or Treat, the little dude with the...
Yes. Okay. I can't think of his name, but yes, that's him.
All right, Near Dark, Pumpkinhead, Michael Myers.
Wait. Near Dark. Which one's Near Dark? The one above Trick or Treat?
Yeah.
I've never seen Near Dark.
Oh, that's a pretty good vampire movie without being, you know, succumbing to any of the foibles of this genre.
All right, now who's above Near Dark?
Pumpkinhead.
Gosh, I haven't watched Pumpkinhead in so long that I didn't know that. That's sad. Okay, go on.
Michael. What is supposed to be, obviously it's a zombie, but what is that supposed to be from right underneath Michael?
I thought it was a zombie from Return of the Living Dead.
Okay. All right. So then we got Blade, Gremlins, Billy from Saw. Is that Killer Clowns from Outer Space? That clown?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair.
Elvira, Freddy, Jaws, Jason.
Oh, wait, you're overlooking who's in Freddy, though. Oh, wait, no. Well, wait, is the thing that's in Freddy, is that supposed to be his souls, or is that Bennings from The Thing?
I'm assuming that's supposed to be his soul, because it looks like there's a couple other faces facing off to the left, too.
You're right. I mean, but doesn't it look a lot like Bennings from
yeah.
The Thing?
Oh, I mean, if it was split down the middle, then I would definitely say, yeah, that was him. But
yeah, okay. Yeah, I agree with you now that I see it. Okay.
So then we got Pennywise, Crypt Keeper, Critter, Chucky. Which dead movie was the guy above that from?
I'm going to assume Dawn, maybe? I'm not sure.
I don't think it was Day of the Dead, but...
It wasn't Night. We know that.
No, I remember seeing him on one of the George Romero posters, though, so...
Yeah, I think it's Dawn.
Okay, so then we got Kiefer, The Fly, Linda Blair in Exorcist, Jeffrey Combs in Reanimator. Who's the dude underneath that in the hat? Kind of looks like Jesus. Tom Petty.
Looks like a... Robin Hood fucking hat or something, but no, that's just Pinhead's hand. Gosh, I don't know who that's supposed to be.
Yeah, then we've got, Pinhead, the fucking dude in the TV from Poltergeist, the ring chick. And who's supposed to, that's supposed to be in the chainsaw reflection and all the way at the bottom right?
All right. Chainsaw reflection, I was confused by because we had Leatherface on the left.
So that's supposed to be a deadite?
Oh. I could see that. That makes sense.
Or like the one, like Ash when Ash gets possessed at the end of the first Evil Dead?
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that makes sense, because there's, I mean, really, aside from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, there's Evil Dead, and then chainsaws kind of aren't that big in horror as far as iconic things go. Jeez, what the hell is that thing in the lower? It looks like an alien, but looks like an alien with a knife. I have no idea about that one or the one with, like, the greenish hat. I don't even know if that's a green hat. Huh. How was Reanimator? I've never seen that either.
I saw it so long ago that I want to say it seemed campy now, but at the same time, it's like one of those ones that people regard as a classic, so.
I saw that, all right, the girls, the sisters behind, I want to say Ginger Snaps and American Mary, are working on a remake or reboot of a movie called Rabid. I don't know anything about this movie, Rabid, but a lot of horror fans are excited. Have you ever seen it?
Rabid?
Yeah. It's from the same sisters. They also do Hellevator on Game Show Network, if you've ever seen that.
No.
Okay. I'm looking up Rabid. Oh, it's by Cronenberg.
Yeah.
So it's got to be pretty fucked up. I mean, that dude makes shit.
It's got Marilyn Chambers as a star, so that right there...
There's going to be titties involved. Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a treat. Who else is in it? Frank Moore. Well, at least Marilyn Chambers is in it. Young Marilyn Chambers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was so late to the party when it came to... I didn't watch Videodrome until last year for the first time. What a treat that movie was. It really was.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, man. I'm not... gosh, who the hell...
Have you ever seen... shit, what the fuck was that called? Hold on, give me a second. Nightbreed?
I feel that I have, but every time I see the poster for it, I'm like, I don't remember it at all.
I just...
It's on my list.
Cronenberg was an actor in it. That was the first thing I saw him. And so that was one of the reasons why... And it was a Clive Barker movie, too, so right there between the two.
I'll tell you a movie that disappointed the piss on me was The Mangler. I always avoided that, and then I finally started watching it, and it was just not that good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the plot.
Yeah, true. Oh, that's what... In Videodrome, it's James Woods. I could not think of his name for the life of me. Also, he did a movie... Not James Woods, Cronenberg. Did a movie called Shivers. Have you ever seen that?
Shivers.
It's like this apartment building where, like, people get infected by these parasites. And it's... There's a lot of, like, sexual stuff involved. And it's definitely David Cronenberg style. It's weird.
I have not seen that.
It's on... I don't know. It's on one of those streaming things. I want to say it's probably on Amazon Prime, possibly, or Hulu. It's one or the other. It's on there. And it's not always known as Shivers. There's two names for it. I can't remember what the other name for it is. Look and see if it says it. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Also known as... I don't know. I'm not finding anything else. But either way, I would recommend that for something to watch. as you know, anybody listening, as you, in case you didn't know, I'm working towards building up my 100 movies to watch for October, so during these talks, I've been trying to take notes of things that Chris mentions that I may not have seen or haven't seen in years and long forgotten about them. Like, Critters, I think I may actually watch, because I haven't seen that since... I mean, that came out in the 80s, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Had to have been, yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to avoid huge franchises, and I know that I've already got... I've got Friday the 13th, and... There was one other one I was going to tackle. And then I think I'm going to tackle the Cube movies. Oh, I was going to tackle the Romero Dead movies.
Gotcha. Speaking of, just looking at, like, actors that we've lost in 2017, what did you think of Frailty?
Frailty was an amazing fucking movie that I downloaded... And it was, like, in the shittiest quality, but I still watched it, and I was like, this is so good. And so, the next day I went out and I bought it. And, yeah, I own it on DVD, I own it on Blu-ray. What'd you think of it?
I was really pleasantly surprised when I saw it, that, especially when you consider that I believe that was Bill Paxton's first directing thing that he had ever done, so.
Yeah, and he also, if I'm not mistaken, was it him that directed... Hatfields versus McCoys?
Yeah.
I thought that was a really well-done miniseries. Not that it was horror, but I enjoyed it. It's a good miniseries to sit down with some moonshine and just drink and enjoy your day. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It was interesting, too, in the premise. And I liked the twist that they threw at the end, but...
It was weird that Matthew McConaughey got second billing, but I mean, really, who else was going to? Although I thought Powers Booth had a bigger role. It's weird though, the guy that played young Adam, I come across him in the weirdest things every now and then. His name's Jeremy Sumpter.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, like, I'll look up something, I'm just like, what the fuck? Why is he in this? It's just weird how he shows up in things that I just wouldn't think about. He was in a movie called Excision, which I really, really thought was well done. That was, who the fuck was in that? Oh, Ariel Winter from Modern Family. Mm-hmm. And Tracy Lords. Who didn't turn out to be a bad actress.
No, that was actually surprising back in the day.
Yeah. Gosh, alright, so one of my favorite things about IMDb is when you look up a movie, I love the people who like this also liked. I'm always curious, like, what's on here? For Excision, they have American Mary, May, The Loved Ones, The Woman, and Dead Girl. I'm like, holy shit, they're all really great. Well, Dead Girl may not be great, but the rest of them are really, really good, and Dead Girl's pretty good, I thought. Actually, I'd like to watch Loved Ones again this year. I might. Big fan of that movie. Doesn't get enough props. What else? Alright, so on Netflix, we watched Saturday. There's a movie, I think it's called The House on Willow Street.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's interested in it, I would say... try to find something else. I really hate to say that. It had a decent enough idea, but it just did not go that well. Like, at first you're like, oh, that's cool, and it's a movie that fizzles out more than gets better, unfortunately.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Right now, I mean, it's looking for new things on Netflix as far as horror goes, it's getting harder and harder to find something that I'm really enjoying. Maybe once every 2 to 3 months I'll find like one movie that I really like, but aside from that, it's kind of Netflix kind of sucks for horror movies lately. Unless, like, you've never had Netflix and, like, you just started, then there's plenty to like. But if you've been watching horror on Netflix for even a year now, you've probably seen, you know, 90% of what they have to offer, unfortunately.
I mean, most of the time when I use Netflix, I'm downloading something to watch it later, too. So the fact that there's even less that they offer there than just right through the stuff that you can stream and watch right away is even worse, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's a shame that Netflix has geared itself more towards original programming. Not that their original programming's bad. It's very good. There's a lot of good stuff on there. But right now, honestly, if you were to compare Hulu versus Netflix for horror movies, I think you would actually prefer Hulu over Netflix.
Have you ever seen a movie called Split Second with Rucker Hauer?
No, somebody recommended that to me last year.
That's another one you gotta watch if you get a chance to see.
I think I downloaded it. Why would I have downloaded it? Tell me a little bit about it.
Alright. It's in the future. Global warming has raised, I want to say, the sea level by like 2 to 3 inches. Enough so that in London, where it takes place, a lot of like subways and shit are now under sea level because of the water rising up. He plays a disturbed cop who was hunting a serial killer who ended up getting away from him but killed his partner. Now the serial killers come back, and as they go through, it appears that the serial killer might actually be the devil.
I know who recommended it to me now. Our buddy Tom, who plays ESO with us.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was. I really liked it. It had it was decently acted. You know, back before it was right at the spot in Rucker's career where he started like getting fat and really losing it. So it was right before he hit that. So,
plus, it came out in '92. There's something to be said for 92 for me. You know that.
Okay.
92 was a shit year for horror movies. It really was a shit year. So, I'll take anything. Here's a question. Have you ever seen The Wraith?
The original?
I assume so.
Or the remake?
I don't. Charlie Sheen movie.
Yeah, okay, yeah. The original.
Okay. So there's a remake?
I thought they remade it.
Okay. Well, would I enjoy the original then? Is the question, because I've been curious about it.
I mean, I have a feeling you would. It wasn't like a bad movie, but it was definitely dated.
I mean, it has a cool cast. Aside from Charlie, it has Randy Quaid and Clint Howard, who. I mean, Clint Howard's always up for a good laugh, I feel.
Yeah.
So, wow. IMDb on my side, it's promoting It. That. Let's see. So, It comes out in a little more than 2 weeks from now. I don't know if I'm going opening weekend. Are you going to see it in the theater, or are you passing because it's ridiculously expensive to go to the theater?
Shit. I'm probably gonna end up passing just because, that's, like, stuff I won't see with my wife, so.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I'll wait till it gets to somewhere where I can, you know, watch it.
You have access to it. Exactly. Yeah. Here's a question, and when I was playing ESO before I got on here with you, I was talking with Mikey, and he's like, I was thinking about going to see a movie by myself. How do you feel about that? And I've never done it, but I'm sitting there thinking, like, if I drove, I would absolutely go watch a movie, go to the theater by myself. It's not like you're sitting there talking to people during the movie, so what's it matter if you're there with somebody or not? How do you feel about that?
I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, shit. Just go with it.
Like, I think about it, like, I would say at least 75% of the movies that I see, I watch by myself anyway, so to me, it's not a big deal. Like, going to the movie theater isn't, it's not a social thing, in my opinion. It shouldn't be, at the very least. Like, you're supposed to be there, get the fuck off your phone, shut the fuck up, watch the movie, laugh when you're supposed to, and, yeah, I don't know. I don't really think it's, like, that big of a social thing. It's cool to go on a date or whatever, but I've never saw an issue going by yourself. I'd rather go to a movie by myself than go to a restaurant by myself.
I agree with you there. That's definitely much less weird.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go to a restaurant by myself. I would go through the drive-thru, obviously, but, I mean, that's pretty much everybody would do that. But actually going in, even to, like, a McDonald's, I don't think I would go just even to, like, a McDonald's by myself to sit down and eat. I would go through the drive-thru and eat in my car or something.
I mean, when I lived by myself, I would go out by myself because what else was there to do? But once I moved in with my wife, yeah, no, I don't go out to eat by myself anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of weird things, man. It's weird. But, yeah, I definitely got to see it. And is there a Star Wars movie coming out this year? There is, right?
Yeah, right on Christmas, I think.
And what is it, the Han Solo one?
No, it's the Episode 8. Forgot what the fuck it's called right now.
Wait, we're getting Episode 8 this year?
Yeah, the Last Jedi.
Oh, I thought that was next year. I thought there was, like, another in-between movie that they were going to do.
That was Rogue One.
Right, but, like, Star Wars usually goes, like, there's usually 3 years in between them, isn't there?
No, they said they're doing, like, this one's coming out in 2017, Han Solo will be 2018, and then Episode 9 will be 2019, so.
And then, are they doing a Boba Fett one, or has that not been?
Oh, I've heard so much shit, I've heard Boba Fett, like, right now, I think the thing that we're seeing, and I don't know if it's true or not, the Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, yeah, Obi-Wan, that'd be. Huh, I'm looking at this, seeing Benicio Del Toro, and that's... I also enjoy how the top credited person for this Star Wars, Tom Hardy, Stormtrooper, rumored. Like, what the fuck? Okay, so he's rumored to be a Stormtrooper and he gets top billing?
Well, because the way IMDb works is the most searched person in the cast gets the top billing. Even if it's, you know, completely different than the way the credits actually work in the movie.
Which is just sad that Mark Hamill is like the ninth or tenth person down, but Brianna fucking Tarth is number two.
Well, Game of Thrones going right now. What has Mark Hamill got going on besides Star Wars?
I don't think I've ever heard those words all in the sentence together. That's all he ever needs his whole life.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean,
and the Joker.
And he was in a movie that used to be on Netflix called Sushi Girl. Did you ever see that?
I did not. But I do remember him as the cock knocker.
The cock knocker. What was that from?
Jane, Silent Bob, Strike Back.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. Sushi Girl. My God, he does so many voices that it's next to impossible to, like, find what you're looking for unless you know the actual year that he did it. It had Tony Todd in it.
There you go.
And it had James Duvall, who a lot of people don't know by name, but he was the oldest son of Randy Quaid's kids in Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Tony Todd and those two guys, and Jeff Fahey was in it, and Michael Biehn.
Oh my God, this is turning into...
Am I selling you on this or making you scared to watch it?
Kind of both, actually.
these five guys, they meet up, and one of the guys got released from prison, and they'd done a job together, and they're celebrating, and you kind of just see how everything played out. It's a cool... It's not horror by no means. It's a crime mystery movie, but because Tony Todd's the main guy, his voice. I just love his voice.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend if you can find it someplace. I think you would enjoy it. just for the cast alone, and Mark Hamill is that, like, remember when Mark Hamill was pretty fucking beefy, like pretty fat?
Yes.
Yeah, this is like him at his fattest before he like started losing weight, probably when he heard about Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars is coming back. He's like, fuck, no.
Fuck, diet. yeah. Gosh. I can't watch that for October. Damn it. I'd like to. I'll add to my list of things just to watch. Because that's so fun. I've been trying to think of, like, other movies. Something I want to focus on this year is 80s movies that I've never seen. Because, I mean, as much of a horror buff as I am, there's a ton of 80s horrors that are considered classics that I've never seen.
Like what?
Well, gosh, I have a list. Where the hell is it? I don't know where my list is. Let me see if it's saved. I bookmark a ton of shit. Like, if I come across a list, I'm like, ooh, that'll come in handy in October. And then when it comes time for me to find it, I struggle finding it because I bookmark way too much shit.
Okay, I just Googled 80 horror movies. Here's what popped up. The Shining. Obviously, we've seen that.
Yes.
Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm going to assume you've seen all of the...
Own them all, okay. Yeah.
The Thing.
Yeah.
Lost Boys.
Uh-huh.
Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Gremlins.
Yeah.
They Live.
They Live. Oh, Piper.
Yep.
Oh, and Keith David, yes. I don't own that. That's the first one I haven't owned.
Angel Heart.
Never seen it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Is that one or two words?
Two words. Mickey Rourke, Lisa Bonet, actual sex scene in the movie.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've never seen it, though. Okay.
It was actually when I was in the Army. I was deployed early before Iraq started. And I went over on this Russian ship. Well, it was an American ship, but it's crewed by all Russians and Ukrainians and Polish Spetsnaz guys. Ex-Spetsnaz guys. And they were transporting, like, all the tanks and trucks and the Connex boxes that carried, like, all the gear and everything over to Iraq, because that shit just doesn't fly itself over there.
Of course.
So I was going as a security for that in case we ever put into port. You know, our job was to sit there and make sure that nobody came on the boat and tried to steal the shit. So we ended up getting stuck in the ocean for almost 6 months. They wouldn't let us land. And so I watched just a shit ton of movies while I was out there because there wasn't anything to do. We never put into port, so we never had to do our job. And that was one of the ones I watched, and it was like, wow, this is actually a really decent thriller slash scary movie for the time. You know, overshadowed by the fact that the live sex scene was part of it and whatnot, but...
Right. Huh. Yeah, I've heard about it. I've just never seen it, so that's something I would watch. I add it to the list. What else you got here?
American Werewolf in London.
Of course.
Child's Play.
Yeah.
Manhunter.
Was that the original, The Silence of Lambs? Yeah, I own it.
Christine.
Oh, that was like one of my childhood movies, man.
Day of the Dead.
It's on the list to watch.
Pet Sematary.
Getting remade, unfortunately.
Halloween 2, The Fly.
Yep.
Hellraiser, Evil Dead. Dead Ringers.
Dead Ringers. Not ringing a bell.
That's the Cronenberg one about the gynecologist twins.
Oh, yeah, it's on Amazon Prime.
Yep. The Dead Zone.
With Walken, yeah.
Life Force?
No.
Oh, dude, that's a classic. There's, like, it seems to me that, like, my dad watched this one with my brother and I when I was six. I remember it came out in 1985, and I was six. And yeah, there was, like, so much fucking sex in this scary movie. It was unbelievable. I'm, like, it kind of made me, it was, first of all, it was scary, and I'm 6 years old, so, but it also made me uncomfortable to be, like, watching that with my brother and my dad, so. Anyways.
Fair enough. Sounds like I'd enjoy it.
Yeah, I would now. I'd probably be like, yeah, but, yeah, back, circumstances being what they were, it was an uncomfortable time. Cannibal Holocaust?
Yeah. Am I wrong in saying that movie's overrated?
No.
Okay.
Most of the Jaws.
You know, I saw them all when I was a kid, but the only one that's worth watching, in my opinion, is the first one.
Fright Night?
That's going to be on the list. As I know I saw it way back, but I don't remember a damn thing about it.
You don't remember Chris Sarandon's, like, disco vampire?
No, I really don't. Like, I remember seeing it, like, on Fox 23, like, on a Saturday afternoon or some shit. So, it's that long ago.
Twilight Zone, the movie?
One of the best openings to a movie ever, yes.
The Fog?
I found The Fog overrated, but I enjoy it.
Yeah. Scanners? Cujo, Children of the Corn, The Blob.
Scanners. I haven't seen that in forever. Do you remember if that's a good one?
Yeah, that was another Cronenberg one. That was the one about the people who blow up the other people's brains.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'll add that to my list. I haven't seen that in forever. Okay. And The Blob, by the way, I liked both versions. I really liked the cutesy little song in the original one, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah. Dead Calm?
Dead Call?
Calm?
Oh, Dead Calm. No, yeah. I have not seen that, but I've seen the cover of it. Worth my time?
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. Especially, like, when you look back at, like, how young the fucking cast was. Billy Zane, Nicole Kidman, Sam Neill.
Wow, Billy Zane's in it? You've sold me.
He's the bad guy, yeah.
Wait, has Billy Zane ever been the good guy?
The Phantom?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I retract my statement.
Zoolander 1 and 2?
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Have you ever heard of a movie called Cemetery Man?
I have it.
And?
It looked way cooler than it actually was. It wasn't a bad it wasn't a bad movie, but okay. I remember seeing a trailer for it. I was like, wow, this looks fucking like right up my alley. And then I watched it and I was like, the trailer was the best thing about the movie.
Fair enough. What about Eyes Without a Face?
Eyes Without a Face. That sounds familiar.
It looks like it's French. And it came out in 1960, so older. What about 1977's House? I don't think that's not the same one as the one with George Wendt, I don't believe.
No.
Do you remember anything about House? If it's,
I never saw the 77 one, which is looks like it's Japanese.
Yes, it is. I did download it. I do know that because I didn't have any way of finding it otherwise.
I do remember the 80s one.
The one with George Wendt, right?
Yeah. And Nicky Kitt.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I saw that a long time ago, too. I always liked George Wendt, so.
Well, what I thought was funny is that you have House 1, House 2, House 4. House 3 was also called Shocker.
Not the Wes Craven Shocker, though, right?
Yeah.
That was House 3?
It was originally House 3, and then they ended up changing the names of the characters and the name of the movie. But they left it as House 3. You know, without, they just changed the names because they were like, oh, this is really different than House 2.
Fucking Shocker sucked. Yep. I'm sorry, I liked the people in it, but that movie sucked.
Yeah.
The Devil's Backbone? You ever see that?
Devil's Backbone. That sounds really familiar.
I don't know anything about it. I'm looking at a list of things to watch in October, and this one has quite a few things.
Oh, yeah, it's Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Good. Good movie.
I also want to say this is hilarious, because for this list that I'm looking at, for every movie it shows like the cover of the DVD or the movie poster. So I get to The Changeling, and somebody either played a joke or really messed up, because instead of The Changeling, it has this like animated thing, Spookly the Square Pumpkin. It looks like it's made for 3-year-olds. Kind of hilarious. Any other ones on that 80s list?
That was pretty much it. That was just, you know, Googling right at the top, so without even clicking.
How do you feel about In the Mouth of Madness?
I just rewatched it recently to see what I still thought about it. It's like a lot of later effort John Carpenter for me, in that it's a good movie, but some ways the effects bring it down. Except for the one scene, basically, when he's running from, I forgot what the fucking place was called, back to this place, and he's being chased by, like, all the Cthulhu creatures. That actually holds up really well, because they did that with, a bunch of dudes in suits and shit. But, it's not a bad movie, but it's nowhere near as scary as it was when I was a kid anymore.
I watched it once, and then I was kind of surprised that it had, like, almost a cult following. It's highly regarded among horror fans, especially for a 90s horror movie. But I was very indifferent towards it. I didn't dislike it.
What do you think about Event Horizon?
I like Event Horizon. What was the dude's name? Weir? In that movie?
Yeah.
It was Weir, I think.
Yeah.
I've named a few video game characters after Weir, so yes, I'm a fan.
Yeah, I always thought it kind of sucked.
Gotcha.
And that was another one I rewatched, and I was like, yep, it doesn't get better by rewatching it.
I mean, shit, close to 20 years old now, right?
Yeah, 20 years this year. It was like, it not only does it not get better, it doesn't get better when you watch the unrated version that has the, you know, the whole video of what happened to the original crew.
I have it on DVD. I've only ever watched it once, and I was probably drinking heavily, but I remember liking it, so that's not the most ringing endorsement I've ever given.
No, but again, that's another one that people have, like, has such a, like, a huge cult following.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, out of movies that, especially in the horror genre, that I've just never understood the huge to-do about, I would toss out Insidious, although I understand why it's liked, but the movie The Descent, I just don't understand its popularity at all. It just doesn't do anything for me, unfortunately.
What didn't you like about Insidious?
The music. I hated how they did the music. And I really didn't like the second half of the movie. I really liked the first half. I was sold. I loved seeing Lin Shaye. I did not like... The second half just brought it down for me, and the music... it was, like, intentionally trying to do, like, the jump scare thing. It was... I call that lazy horror writing, when you're intentionally trying to do it too many times, and they did it way too many times, in my opinion. It's got a cool ambiance, though. Like, it's creepy. It really is creepy. I can't sit here and say that I really like it, and almost all my horror movie friends just don't understand why I don't like it. It happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked it, so... But. Oh, I was wondering, so...
I'll tell you, in my opinion, I think Blair Witch Project is one of those movies... I hate discussing Blair Witch Project, because you either people either really like it, or they really hate it, and I swear there's really no in-between on that movie. it's like either you liked, you saw it and you liked it and you appreciate it, or you saw it and you're like, this is so stupid and didn't even finish it, or just hated it the whole time. Which I understand why, I understand both sides of the argument, but I've really seen people like get into like fucking vicious arguments over Blair Witch. I'm like, this is stupid. Stop it. What about The Brood? Have you ever seen The Brood? I think that's my...
I have not. It's supposed to be really good, but I've never seen it, so...
Okay, you're in the same boat as I am, then. I kind of would like to watch Ju-on. I've actually never watched a lot of the...
Japanese original versions of it, yeah.
Yeah. I think I would enjoy that. I think I'm going to check out, Pulse, I think it is.
Pulse.
I think that's what it's called. I don't know. This list had 62 movies, and I've seen all but like four of them, I think. Although I'm really happy that Fire in the Sky made it on the list.
That's an underrated movie. And one of the scariest things I've ever seen in real life, right? I was going out to visit a friend and their camp on Kroger Lake. And I'm driving out there just in the middle of the night, deep fucking woods. And I look off to the right. And you know the scene where he actually gets sucked up into the ship and you see the green light come down?
Yeah.
I look over to the right and there's a red light. Same kind of thing, you know, like a small cylinder just going from the sky down to the ground. It's like a clearing off in the middle of the woods off to my right. I'm like, holy shit, let me get the fuck out of here before I get zapped up and they make me naked and throw plastic sheet over my face and throw worms down my throat.
I don't know. I think that sounds like a casual Friday to me.
Yeah, no. No thanks.
Oh gosh, yeah, that movie is very underrated. And I actually remember the trailer for it and everything. I was like, this movie's going to do really well, and it was a success. But I thought it was actually going to be a bigger success than it turned out to be.
Yeah.
Wow, I know I have a lot of things bookmarked, and I'm sitting here going through this, and I'm pretty sure I'm just like overlooking things, quite frankly, which. I just found a list of 50 most hard to watch scenes in movie history because, I don't know, some of that stuff's fun to me. But it has menace to society on the list, and like it's not all horror based, basically.
Gotcha.
So, actually, as a matter of fact, the first, I don't even know how many of these are. I mean, Black Swan, Menace to Society, Bullworth, Munich, Pulp Fiction, Raging Bull. Yeah, like, Cape Fear. There's a movie I haven't seen in years.
Yeah, that's been a long time for me, too.
I know most of the stuff, like, if I go down to, like, the top 10, that's probably where... It's stuff that I've seen. Like, on these lists, so many times you see Irreversible. I've never understood... I don't know. I really never understood why it's so high up on the list. Like, I get why it's on the list, but I didn't think the movie was really that well done.
Well, I'm assuming that, like, it's on that list because, you know, you see a violent rape on screen.
Yeah. It was... Not only the violent rape, but it was how it was filmed, really. Like, it was filmed really well done. So, like I said, I get why it's on the list. I just... A lot of times it's like number... It's in the top three, and... quite frankly... Like, a Serbian film only made it to number 11 on this list, and a Serbian film should not be that low. That's all. Like... Serbian film made it below Requiem for a Dream. That seems a tad fucked up, if you ask me. So, this actually is really a terrible list. Although they did get Antichrist right. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No.
Or that that scene in particular was
the castration scene.
Yeah. Also, Inside made it at number 3, and I liked Inside, and I understand why it's on here, but Salo made it on here at least twice, and Irreversible's number 1. They're a surprise. Salo. Have you ever seen Salo?
No, I haven't.
Good. Don't. I mean, under normal circumstances, I could probably say, yeah, give it a shot. No, I will never tell anybody to give Salo a shot, ever. That movie's just really fucked up piece of filmography. But yet, like, they don't have anything from, like, the August Underground, I think, trilogy, which is a whole other level of fucking ridiculousness. Have you ever seen any of those?
No.
It's like they were trying to basically like, make as close to a snuff film as possible without, you know, going over the line, basically. Lots of cinematic tricks. It's just shock value for the sake of shock value. Like, that to me is the... It's closer to what torture porn means than fucking Saw. Like,
yeah.
That's the problem. Idiots don't know what the fuck torture porn really means. They just spout off. All right. Well, I think we could probably wrap this one up.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much meandered as far as we can meander away from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I mean, maybe next week we'll come back with a horror movie that starred somebody from Game of Thrones. Like, there is the one with Davos that's in... I don't remember the name of the movie, but he is in a horror movie, so... There, we just brought it back somehow. What's his name? Do you know?
Isn't it Liam Cunningham?
Liam Cunningham, yes. Liam... So... I look him up, I will tell all you Game of Thrones fans a name of a movie to check out. It is called Let Us Pray. It's okay. I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that's great, but it might still be on Netflix, actually. Pollyanna McIntosh is on it. And she's pretty good, so... There you go, Game of Thrones fans and horror fans. Now you can combine into unity. For everybody, check out 9deuce.com. There's a lot of stuff there. Wrestling, horror, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead. The podcast, all that fun stuff. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter at official9deuce. That's the number 9. Facebook... You can just look up 9deuce and you'll find stuff. Whatever. Anyways, we appreciate you listening. Chris, any final thoughts?
The only thing I'll say is that I'm just reading right now that it's supposed to be the longest Game of Thrones episode ever for the finale for next episode, which I think was previously held before this season by last season's finale. So.
And that was close to hour and 20, hour and a half, right?
I think it was like an hour and 8, an hour and... Almost an hour and 10. This one looks like it's maybe a minute or two longer, so...
And this week was an hour and something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so...
So, cool. Well, that's exciting. We'll be back next week.
Sometime.
By midweek, yeah. You'll be able to hear us. And we'll be discussing everything that happened and how wrong we were about various things that we know nothing about. Just call Jon Snow. I'll make a prediction. We get to see Mira Reed next week. I don't know what she'll be doing, but we're going to see her next week. That's my bold prediction.
All right. I'll predict that Euron's going to die just to ruin Kent's day.
Oh, my God. That would bring me down. That makes me sad. All right. For Chris, this is Kat. We thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. Thank you. And sniff you jerks later.